move number 12. And then this really wasn't, this is just an update.
All right, so we will call to order the Public Safety Committee for Thursday, July 2nd at 6 p.m. We have myself, we have Alderman Soling and Alderman
Hyatt.
Not Cornelius, Hyatt, I'm used to
it. Emergency number two.
Number two, we have 2.0. And staff as well as Marlis here tonight. We are moving up PS 2512. In order to facilitate some schedules. So we will, we have no citizens on or in the room, so we'll just go through that. And then we'll just go right into 2512, truck enforcement program.
All right, so in a minute I'm gonna turn it over to Kyle. One of the things we've started this year, and a lot of it is because of the construction we have, obviously with Costco, and then, you know, potentially the developments, other developments coming to the city. Kyle had approached us with wanting to start a truck enforcement program. Our city had this many, many years ago. However, when things back in 6, 7, 8, 9 happened, the truck enforcement program kind of went down. And so there's specialized training that this this program takes. And Kyle, who is very knowledgeable about trucks, was very interested. So he approached us and wanted to do the program. So I'm going to let Kyle talk about our program, what our purpose is for the program, what we're doing with the program, just so you guys are aware. There's nothing to vote on tonight. It's just more informational. So go ahead, Kyle.
Kyle Davis, been here for 12 years. Yeah, like Chief said, I've got a really strong mechanical background. My dad's been a truck driver for pushing 50 years now. And I kind of like the mechanical aspect of the truck enforcement stuff. It's not just making the traffic stop and writing a warning. It's laying underneath the truck and looking at the tires and looking at the equipment and asking them questions about that kind of stuff. So went to a week-long class up in Glendale Heights. They taught us the basics on truck nomenclature, the scales, the weighing, the different weight restrictions. You know, for instance, a truck is only allowed 20,000 pounds on one axle, 34,000 pounds on a tandem, which is a tandem is two axles, anywhere 40 to 96 inches center to center. Gross weight, you can be overweight on registration, overweight on axle, tandem, overweight on gross, stuff like that. So my main reason behind it is, like I said, my dad's been a truck driver for 50 years, is to try to professionalize the trucking industry here in Yorkville. It seems like anybody can get a CDL and buy a truck and go out there kind of do their thing. So we're just trying to maintain some safety in regards to that. Big thing, I'm upwards of 50 stops on trucks with no tarps on their the dump trailers. So January 1 of this year, any trucks hauling any type of aggregate, dirt, sand, rock, even mulch, basically if it comes from the earth and it's in a truck bed or in a dump trailer, they have to have that load tarped. Write a lot of warnings for that, trying to educate people instead of just hammering them. Like I'm getting the point across here, you know, I think we've all kind of seen the tarps. About 95% of trucks I see in town now have tarps on them. So what we're doing is working. I reached out to, well, I wanted a set of portable scales, which to buy new portable scales is astronomically expensive, about $25,000. I went through all of the state, the police department and state scales owned by police departments. I found the ones that haven't been certified in years. Reached out to Shanahan PD. They had a set of scales that hadn't been used since 2017, and they were nice enough to give them to us. Two of the four were bad, but we got two of them up and running, and that's all I need. So we've weighed a small handful of trucks, had some overweights, had an overweight on certification. Gentleman was driving on just a Class D license, which means he's only allowed 16,000 pounds. He was rolling around about 24,000 pounds. So citations were issued accordingly. With the safety things, one thing that I'm kind of a stickler on is the tires. You know, there's 18 wheels, obviously 18 wheels of tires on a semi. 90% of the trucks that I stop have at least one bad tire on it. So that's enforceable with a $100 city ordinance citation. Yeah, just kind of educates them, kind of gets the point across. So a lot of times when I'm up in the trucks talking to these guys, the CB chatter about, oh, Yorkville's got another one stopped, is, you know, kind of getting out there. So, again, professionalizing everything. Been looking for no valid registrations here the last few days. So June 30th of every year, commercial license plates go expired. So beginning of July, there's several, usually several trucks that are outside of their registration. And with those is several $1,000 fines. So doing what we can, keep the roads safe. Just a quick statistic, one regular family car going down the road, one 80,000 pound truck going down the road is the same as 9,000 family cars going over that same spot. 10% of all fatalities include commercial vehicles, and that could be due to safety things, overweights, obviously that increases braking distance, trying to hit them downtown, get them stopped downtown for the speed thing, like Sergeant Strop works on down there. So just trying to gain some compliance and educate the drivers.
Our main goal is obviously safety, right, like Kyle just talked about. So, you know, Kyle's done a really nice job of educating the truckers coming through town. It's funny, when he's stopping a truck, all of a sudden the chatter's out. So people are coming through town with tarps on now. People are slowing down through town. When Kyle's working, they see that. They see him stopping cars and or trucks, and of course that makes a big difference. Kyle's focused a lot on Cornelius Road as well, with some of the complaints we had on, you know, the trucks on Cornelius from the lettuce factory and Menards through there. The word is out there. He's also taken steps to reach out to the lettuce factory to say, hey, listen, we're going to be out here. We are writing people tickets. So we've told you. Now it's time that, you know, we've told you enough. You need to change. He is going to be working on what you and I spoke about, going, you know, through the different subdivisions. Kyle and I both know that there's ways that trucks could go behind the Kohl's in that area, the Target, wind its way around Gillespie to go to, was it Northland?
Yes, Northland. And, right, well, there. Actually, High Ridge is the
or High Ridge, one. I'm sorry, High Ridge, yes.
Hitting out here, so, yes.
Yeah. So he's sitting out there. We haven't seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we have not seen any trucks there. We have gotten a couple complaints on it.
My neighbors let me know every time there's a truck that goes through, so they are watching.
Yeah.
And I know you guys can't be there every moment,
right,
but
yeah. Well, we stopped one of them. You know, it helps. And what we're finding, and I know what Kyle's found as well, is the truck drivers, they don't want to pay for the Google Maps, so to speak, the truck version of it, because it costs money. Everything else is free. Yeah. The truck version gives you truck routes. That gives you roads that are, you know, signed, you know, no more than 8 tons per road, which obviously semis are above that. And so
that app is actually created by the state. It's called Get Around Illinois, and it's a few bucks. And the truck drivers they would rather type it into their TomTom that doesn't understand the weights and, you know, distances between axles and what they're allowed and not allowed, and they just blame their GPS. But yeah, it's called Get Around Illinois.
Yeah. So,
have you guys ever talked about having new trucks in town, like how Plainfield has? Like, you can't
through the downtown area.
Yeah.
We can't do that. That's an IDOT thing because it's 30 or because it's Route 47.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
We could potentially petition for that to happen, and see what IDOT would say. Let me look into that.
The bridge is there now. I mean, how much is that bridge utilized? Specifically the Menards trucks. I see them all the time whipping around. To your point, anybody in CDL, you can see some of those drivers, like, you know.
Yeah, I'd love it a lot more if it wasn't for the roundabout down there.
Yeah. That's, I mean, my dad drove a truck, and my nephew owns a trucking company, and he inherited from his dad, so I'm pretty well versed on tires, obviously, but trucks too.
Yeah.
So
I believe at one point they were discussing that was making that the designated truck route to avoid the bridge at downtown needed repair, and they didn't want to. I think we talked about this when we were in Springfield, that the bridge down there needed repair, and they didn't want to put the money out, so they were considering moving it down 52 to Eldemain, and then coming back down Eldemain and back around on Chicago Road, making that the designated truck route. But that, they said that would be years down the road.
And ideally, yeah, to move the traffic out of there, if we petition now, the way that Plainfield got around is Plainfield took ownership and it's a local road now.
Yeah.
They took the actual 126 route and they rerouted that around for truck routes. So that's why you veer off. Trucks will always veer off to the left and then head north or south.
I know, I'm behind a lot of time, I go, didn't I?
Yeah, so it's a I can't say that we would probably get to that point. I don't know if the state would ever see this, that, or we would ever want that, because then we'd take ownership of that bridge. We've got one bridge, and that's too many right now.
Let me see. I'll, you know, nothing hurts. I'll email Eric and Brad, see what their thoughts are, see if IDOT will do that. I'll make sure I forward you guys the information. I'll probably send it sometime next week.
This is because nobody pays attention when people turn across the street by Fox Republic.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
People will sit there for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the issue of the trucks in downtown, that goes to the traffic, you know, the speeds and that. But it's throughout the city. You know, we're having them in neighborhoods. The more industry we get, the more trucks we have, the bigger the issue. So I appreciate what you're doing and, you know, facilitating that.
Absolutely.
Having the scales as big. I remember when we did have our own set, and that went to the wayside. But the wear and tear on our local streets, it's huge. Overweight, I mean, your statistic is huge.
Yeah.
You know, one truck is equal to 9,000 cars on that same spot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of wear and tear.
When you do the tires, do you actually like take a gauge and tread depth?
So it can be any defect on the tire that I deem as unsafe. So in order to stop a truck, I only have to have reason to believe. Reason to believe is less burdensome than probable cause for a stop. Reason to believe is immeasurable. It's what I feel is overweight. Are the tires squished? Are the sidewalls bulged out? Are the leaf springs flat? So on and so forth. And then generally once the truck is stopped, once I'm walking up to it for suspicion of overweight, then I can see the tires and the defects on the treads and stuff like that. So, yeah.
90% of the recaps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Recaps, and then you can see on the top of the tread, they start to, that glue starts to come off and they start to flare up, and that's an unsafe tire, because if you're going down the road 60 miles an hour, especially on a hot day, you know, it's just like a rubber band. If you sit there and stretch it a bunch, it gets hot, tires hot, overweight, they blow out. I stopped a truck 2 hours ago. Guy had a blown out inside tire, had no idea, and he was dragging the entire tire underneath the truck. I was like, what's going on?
She's going to come off.
Probably all hit him on the interstate, right? There's the tire treads right in the middle of the interstate.
What they call them, alligators?
Like road gators? You know, I'm sorry. It's your meeting. I wanted to mention, you know, just in Kyle's, you know, just kudos to you. I ran into a friend that drives a truck in personal life, and it wasn't even on my radar. And he's like, "Hey, can I ask you a question, sir?" And he's like, "What are you guys doing at Yorkville? I'm like, why? What's up?" "Well, we've been getting stopped a lot." I go, "For what?" And he's like, "Oh, trucks." I go, "Why?" "Well, our loads aren't tarped." And I go, "Well, are they supposed to be tarped?" "Well, yeah, but it just takes time. I don't want to take time." I go, "Well, what did you guys decide to do?" "Well, we had an employee meeting. We said, hey, if we're driving through Yorkville, make sure we're obeying the rules." And I kind of chuckled to myself, because I'm like, that is absolutely perfect. And what's interesting about truck traffic is that you're totally right. They just chatter with one another, and that's all I see, is just with the promise of what we have come into town, like what a great like precedent to set for anybody that comes to the town. Just, hey, we want you guys to be here, but use the right routes and like do the things the right way. So I was proud of you, Kyle. I just wanted to give you credit, like, you know, sit with these guys. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's good. And then obviously you're certified, you have the capabilities to do it. Do we have other officers that are able to?
Kyle's the only one right now.
Right
we
now.
Do have a couple other people that are potentially interested.
Okay.
And actually, Sam is certified to do it too. So forgot about that.
All right. And so we have the possibility for, you know.
Ultimately, we'd like to put one per team.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a it's people have to be interested in order to want to do it. Right, because there's a lot of knowledge, there's a lot of education that you have to go through, and you have to really want to do it to be really good at it. So, and Kyle really wants to do it, and he's good at it. So,
well, we appreciate that initiative.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Definitely.
Kendall County pulled me over at least a dozen times over the 20 years with my CDL.
Yeah,
I work at Fox Metro, and I'm hauling poop.
Yeah.
And so they would pull me over one, thinking I'm overweight because I have a big heap pile in the back. Well, it's like sponge. There's no weight to it. But, yeah, so they're like, "What are you hauling? Is it dirt?" I'm like, "Nope, it's poop. You want some?" And I reach in there, I grab a handful of crap, and they're like, "Oh, I'm good." "Here, you can cheat. It's all spongy. It's all good. You just squeeze it." And I got gloves on, but, yeah.
So as of right now, this is informational. Do you have all the equipment you need at the moment? Is there anything you foresee with us needing to provide in the future?
So ideally, I would like to either acquire or work on budgeting for more scales. With just having the two scales right now, again, so like with the tandems, anything 40 to 96 inches, those two, they have to be level. So what I did is built six dummy scales. So they're basically just plywood sheets the exact same height. So what I'm doing is I weigh the, you know, I'll weigh the steer tires, then I'll weigh the front axle of the tandem, throw the dummies under there. It's a lot of lifting 60-pound scales and moving them around. So ideally, 2 to 4 more scales.
Okay.
We do also have, we were able to get a contract together with Lenny's Gas and Wash in Plano. So we're able to take the trucks over there. The only thing is they charge us a couple
the cab scales. Yeah. So there's a percentage that goes to them or a flat fee?
Correct. A flat fee is around $15. So
we have that resource, which is great. Good. Yeah.
So actually, we're working with Bart and Rob right now to see if when we have an ordinance violation, a lot of these ones, number one, we try not to ding a trucker because that's their livelihood, right? Mm-hmm. For a license violation through the Illinois Vehicle Code. When you have to, you have to. But Kyle's identified several ordinances that we can run through our city court here. And then I'm working with Bart and Rob right now to see if we can take that money from the fines, put it into a separate, I would call it a truck fund, and that way we can use that to purchase equipment until we get the equipment we need, and then, you know, obviously the city can do whatever they want with it. So that'll be something we'll probably discuss later. I'm assuming admin would probably be discussing that because it has to do with finances.
Yep.
But that's going to be our request so we can get the equipment we need and not have to necessarily budget for it.
Well, I would hope that if that were the case, that revenue stream would become temporary because you solve the problem of overweights and violations by the hearsay rumors of all the stops that are happening.
Correct.
So it corrects itself over time.
Yeah, absolutely.
On that same note, the permitted loads are a revenue stream. Mm-hmm. I had stopped a particular company here in town for overweight, and I knew that he was overweight just by doing a quick Google search of the piece of equipment he was hauling. He was approximately 137,000 pounds, limited to 80,000. Little bit of a discrepancy as to whether he was where he was supposed to be. The next morning, that company went and paid $1,000 for a permit, for a year-long permit through the city. So those permits are ideal for us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
Awesome.
Cool. Any other questions on this one? Thank you much. We appreciate that.
You're all good, buddy.
Appreciate
you
it.
You can stay if you want, or you can take off. You worked all day, so it's cool. Come out of here.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks. See, buddy. Then everybody's got one of those.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Back to the regular report.
Traffic.
You're going to do traffic?
Yeah,
okay.
If we could.
We're going to the traffic. Traffic concern. Let's see. That one is actually
under old business.
Old business. Oh, we just don't have it on the agenda. Okay.
This is just more of an update.
Update on the traffic reports for the downtown area.
So I'll start out and then I'm going to turn it over to Sam and to Garrett. So obviously you guys are aware of the traffic issues we've been having downtown. Since January, Sam has run multiple speed studies down there. He's tracked what our staff has been doing downtown. Our primary focus besides 3471, 126, and 47, we're trying to hit the downtown area pretty hard. Several businesses, several individuals have reached out to me and talked about, hey, I see you guys down there all the time. We post all of our stuff on Facebook. The Facebook hits get probably 10,000, 12,000, 20,000 people when, you know, Sam will post and say, hey, slow down, we're down here running radar. So we have some good news on some things with our recent study that Sam has done. We've obviously still have some work to do. But right before Sam talks, I'm going to pretty much just kind of pose a question to you guys in your head to think about, and then Sam's going to go over some data, and then maybe we can talk about that specific question. So the question I have is, what is an acceptable amount of violators speeding in our downtown area? I know nobody should be speeding. I get that, right? But you're never going to get 100% compliance. So when we talk about the violations downtown and we talk about speeding downtown, what's an acceptable percentage that you guys would be good with? Not necessarily good, but at least it's acceptable. And then, of course, it gets into, okay, well, how fast are those cars going? How far over the speed limit are they going? So while Sam's talking and Garrett's talking about, you know, some of the data that they've collected, maybe we could talk about that when they're done and give you guys a moment to kind of brainstorm a little bit. So, Sam, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thanks for having me. Appreciate everyone's time. Downtown, this is one of our director patrol areas. We have a handful of them around town. This is one that's been a priority this year that I'm trying to keep track of, record data, and try to make improvements, suggestions, things like that. So this is the third follow-up I've done downtown. Not much has changed to the downtown area. Everything's still pretty much the same. Since I did the last report, I ran the crash numbers from February 1st to June 29th. Since the last report, we've had three additional crashes. Those three crashes have been in the area 47 in Van Emmon. All have been property damage crashes, a rear-end crash, a turning crash, and a tire came off the vehicle. So nothing increased for significance there. May 25th, we came up with the idea of putting the speed signs downtown for a month. So May 25th to June 25th, and then during that time period, not doing any enforcement or any focused direct patrol, just recording some accurate traffic data down there. During that time, for northbound, we had 270, almost 276,000 cars going northbound recorded going through there. Vehicles that were going 11 plus over the speed limit, total of about 19,000, and that was about 6.71% of violators. So 6.71% of violators were going through there, going over the speed limit, above tolerance. That tolerance was up to 10 miles an hour. Southbound was a little different. It was about the same number. It was 295,000 going southbound. Now, southbound, it changes from 35 to 30. Now, when it goes, again, just to rehash, to go from 35 to 30, you got 500 feet after that speed reduction to do that speed. Where it puts it at is about the railroad tracks. So when they hit that sign in the middle of the bridge going southbound, about hydraulic by that crossing there, they got to do 30 miles an hour. So I set that speed at 35 because that's where the majority of it's picking up. So that's why the numbers are a little bit lower. If you're looking at page number two for the traffic data, 1,600 vehicles, and it was 0.55%. What I did was underneath that, I incorporated it as a 30 mile an hour speed zone. So people that were doing 11 miles an hour, so 41, which put it at a little over 10,000 vehicles, and I was at 3.52%. So that's what we got going through there. I put the previous report underneath there. Now, the previous report we did in January, so the weather conditions were kind of different. People driving a little slower because of the snow and whatnot. But going back, when we get to previous speed data, I'll get to that in a minute. It was that northbound, they were about 7.5% over the speed limit, so we have gone down a little bit. We're shooting for that 5% number. I know the chief brought up what's an acceptable number for everybody. Right now I'm shooting, trying to get them 5% or less speeding violations. Let's see. Going to page number four. I just highlighted the amount of directed patrols that were done in the downtown area. Prior to December, I was including the downtown with the Route 47 directed patrols. But January through June of this year, we did 121 details. We had 198.35 hours of man hours doing directed patrols, and we had 335 traffic stops in the downtown area. So those included individual officers, as well as we set up some saturated patrols where I and other individuals will stand down there with the LIDAR. It's a laser that picks up the vehicle speed, and then I'll have vehicles stack up on opposite sides, and then I'll call out the traffic stop. That seems to go good. Everyone likes the team participation, and even though I'm standing out in the open, I will put things out on social media saying, hey, we're here, we're not hiding from anybody. We're still picking up speeders. In fact, we just did one last week, and I got someone doing 60 over the bridge. So
he kind of walks up to the car and says, just in case you're going to ask, here's your speed. He shows her the radar.
Yeah, I didn't want there to be any surprises or an argument with the next officer down the road going, where were you at? I'm right here. Here's your speed. This is where I was standing. There's no surprises. Let's see, going to page 8, I highlighted all the different data that were collected over periods of time from the speed signs. Like I said, if you look at the top one, which was probably more realistic now, the weather conditions back in October through November, the number of speeding vehicles with the bottom being the most recent. I also tried to highlight the time, talking to the chief and deputy chief. We're trying to now pinpoint those times down by hour to make the officer's time more effective and efficient. Deputy Chief Carlisle has a sheet I put together for northbound traffic. I broke it down hour by hour. I'm still in the process of working through all the numbers just to make it a little more, to see where the highest percentage of violators are occurring. And that is just for the most recent traffic study, and that's just for northbound traffic.
Everybody's late for work.
Yeah. It's a pretty interesting number, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when you put all the data together that Sam has put together, it looks like you know
right,
we're below 5%, and in some cases just below 7% with the whole thing. And while that's overall a reduction with what we're doing, there are certain time frames that were in here, like I think 6 in the morning through 9, whatever that is.
I mean,
70% of the cars are speeding.
So, right.
So that's why Sam is going to break it down into more specific hourly time frames. So then we can go after those time frames. The part of the problem is that's also our shift change. You know, 5:30 is when we rotate out. And so it's going to have to be a quick roll call, or we're going to hold people over or kick people in early. Some people do know that, right? And so, yeah.
They know when you guys are getting ready to
come back in. It was such an excellent point, because just from my perspective, you know, Sam does such a good job just collecting this data. And my question was, what's this 35? And he goes, well, Garrett, the sign, when the radar hits the car, they're in a 35-mile-an-hour zone. And I'm like, oh, okay, totally makes sense. And, you know, you had suggested, hey, what's your breakdown? You know, maybe it's a higher or lower percentage. Because some of this, you know, I look at, like, if my... what's palatable? I asked Chief that too. I'm like, Chief, I'm trying to think, like, what am I willing to swallow? You know, I'd love zero, but if you told me a half out of, like, 0.5 out of every 10 cars that come through there are within the speeds that we're willing to tolerate, I'm like, I would sign on that dotted line all day long as just being realistic. But, you know, you had mentioned, like, hey, what's the speeds? And I go, as soon as Sam and I started looking at it, it just popped like wildfire, right? Hey, people are flying to work, and... typically, traffic's probably not as heavy during that 5 to 6, 6 to 7 hour. I'm like, and then you look in the middle of the day, traffic's way up, so you can't speed that much, and our guys are hammering it pretty good. And then the evening rolls around, we get busy for calls for service, and, you know, people start heading back home. And it just made it really clear for us. I think our goal is to just, how can we be creative, not spend our overtime budget just needlessly, but just kind of flex some hours around to just get guys out there at 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, you know, when people are rolling to work. And I honestly can attest to that, because that's about what time I come through town, and it's a whole lot easier to just not mind your speed when there's nothing in front of you. You know, so it was really interesting. I mean, our statistics are really, that program that he has is pretty wild. It'll tell you, a lot of things when it breaks it down like that. But that's kind of where we were starting to game plan. And honestly, it was because of conversations that we had with you guys. I mean, you had brought that one up, and it wasn't something that I was deliberately ignoring. I just didn't think about it because my brain doesn't work that way, you know?
Yeah, so what you guys pulled, you know, the general traffic data is good information. Shows us what's happening, how many are coming through, what the speeds are, what the averages are. But when you start to break it down in the hour by hour, you start to see the trends. The trends are the key of when you have the peaks. You know, you could look at it in traffic volumes too. Traffic volumes are going to have their peaks, but the speeds are going to have their peaks because they correlate to what's happening.
Absolutely.
And now you set the baseline. This is your baseline information now that we have. Now you target the details to the certain times, you know, instead of randomizing them. Now they're just, you tailor that, you enforce those times. Now see what happens 6 months from now. See if those certain time frames have changed with the speeds. Once they realize, well, I'm getting hit, you know, mornings or evenings when I'm coming through, as I, you know, people thought that they could do it before. So that's, you know, it's great to be able to break that information down.
Yeah. our department goal this year was, when we have a problem, to identify what that problem is and then solve the problem, right? This is part of that overall goal, and that's what Sam's been working for, really doing a nice job on trying to get the data to the troops. You guys in your businesses, right, you already, you know that people are going to say, well, why are we doing this? They want to know the why. Our patrol officers are the same. Sam's able to provide them data as to the why we're still doing this in the downtown area, even though the numbers look better when you break it down individually. You're getting your why, and that's what Sam is explaining to the troops now, so that they will go out there and effectively and efficiently, you know, make more stops. The other part of it is tolerances, right? So when I work the street, I can't speak for these two, but when I work the street in a 30-mile-hour zone, I didn't stop cars until they hit 40. Now, they slowed down when they saw me, but I didn't stop them until they hit 40. I'd write tickets at 41. Because once you hit in a 30 and you're doing 40, I'm stopping you. Depending on how you are, I may write you a ticket or may not. 55 is the same thing. I didn't write tickets till 70. Officers all have their tolerance levels that they're doing, whether it's the street, whether it's 30, whether it's a 45, whether it's a 55-mile-an-hour zone. They have their tolerances. So when we talked, and I asked you guys the question earlier, it's kind of what's the acceptable level? That acceptable level really kind of goes along with the question of tolerances with the officers. If somebody's doing 40 through the downtown area, even though it's 30, they may not get stopped because officers aren't stopping at that level, right? So that's the reason I asked part of the question to you guys is, you know, what is your acceptable tolerance level? And, you know, our goal was to shoot for 5%. Right? That was our goal. So, I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at.
What was yours? What would you be at? What's acceptable to you, Rusty?
Now?
Yeah, I mean, what did you have when you put that in?
I said 7 or 8%.
You're 7 or 8%.
Okay.
Zero would be my percent.
Well, exactly.
We 100%. Right? I mean, that's why I said at the beginning, we would love zero.
You're thinking 10%.
You're never going to get zero.
So, I'll tell you, when I had the conversation with these two, I was 5 to 10%. And obviously, I want it closer to 5, which you key on the average, you're there. And then you see you get some
It was funny because I had asked my family and friends, hey, what percentage of nearly 300,000 cars over the course of a month, what percentage do you think was speeding 10 plus? And people, 40, 60, 80, you know, like, and I go, what if I told you it was 5.5 to 6? They're like, no way. And I'm like, that's what I thought. You know, like, I think we made a dent. Mm-hmm. Now I think we go back and really hone in. You know, like, Sam will never give himself credit. But, you know, and it's about the time spent down there. Because, for example, Thursday, those guys were wolfpacking down there, and they were knocking down everything that was speeding. And I got a call from a citizen that said, hey, what's going on in Yorkville? Because you better not speed across the bridge. I go, yeah, no kidding, you better not. Mm-hmm. And then Friday, Chief calls me and goes, hey, what the heck? I just saw somebody rolling across the bridge. And the difference is that you can saturate all you want to, but then all of a sudden the cop's not there.
Yeah.
And people are just big.
Are you guys allowed to put the squad cars at the WM? Like, I know sometimes do that.
We do. Actually, Sam, I'll let you answer that one because you may have an answer for that. If not,
I do. I mean that's something we can do. Sometimes people get used to the vehicles. Where I work in my part-time job, that's a big thing is cars, they call it dummy squad cars, where they just keep on occupied. But sometimes people get used unless you get moved around, and the word will travel fast that, hey, nobody's in the car, they just see a car downtown. So
they put a dummy car for 3 days and put a real car there.
You got to change up the tactics all the time.
What we found, actually, it worked over the Christmas time. We would rotate the squad out at Home Depot in Yorkville and over the holidays for retail theft. And it actually, their numbers plummeted because the car was out there. Now, if we continue to do that all the time, it's not going to be as effective, which is really kind of the same thing Sam is saying. You know, we can do it for a period of time.
You just have to change the tactics.
Correct.
Now, I will say, Sam, you are somewhat of a legend. I get messages on a regular basis when you're down there. The photos sniped of you and the squads of the enforcement. So it is well known that is a tactic, and it's appreciated in the downtown, through the city in general.
So. I probably get 90% calls in favor of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
thank you.
I believe that our city like supports it. Sam had posted, "Hey, we're downtown," on our Facebook page, and somebody said, "Doesn't that defeat the purpose if you're telling people that you're down there And his response was, well, we want compliance. Like, we're not looking to penalize anyone. We want compliance. And right. It was funny the amount of people that jumped on, like, on our behalf going, yeah, they're just trying to get people to slow down downtown, you know. And it was interesting. Yeah. So our community supports it, yeah, sure. You know. Yeah.
It's not we're not looking at it as a revenue stream. That's yeah. what the other side. Yeah. The other side is just, it's a revenue stream. Quota. We're trying to ding us.
Quotas and revenue.
Quotas and revenue. Yeah. And then you get the ones, thank you for trying to help us with yeah. our downtown.
Do you ever coordinate with other jurisdictions?
I've worked with the sheriff's office. I reached out to the state police. Unfortunately, they got a higher priority areas where they can't always help out.
Sure.
We're going to look into helping out when they had their traffic grants and things. But so far, the sheriff's office has helped periodically. I talked to a couple guys, and they'll join up and team up with us and help out.
The reason I ask is I leave for work roughly 5:50-ish, and people generally keep going through on 34. They're slow until they get around the curve just past Grand Reserve.
Yeah.
And Oswego and Kendall County's never there, and then all of a sudden it's Indy 500 all the way to downtown Oswego.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I asked that. Everybody knows. I mean, I've been driving that route 25 years, and maybe four times I've seen county. Maybe four times in 25 years.
Yeah.
It's the fifth time that'll get you.
I'm glad you're seeing this all the time. Yeah. Is it okay if I'd like to put this on the agenda for November for an update?
What I was going to do is I was going to ask, what are the next steps? What's your next
objective here first? My next step is to go through all the data. Like I said, I think we're going in the right direction overall, because from last October to now, it's gone down a percentage or so. Mm-hmm. So I think overall we're going the right direction. But my next step is to go through each of the hour by hour and try to hone in specifics on where it would make us more effective and efficient. And then reanalyze the data once we start hitting those peak times and seeing if that is making a difference. Like I said, I did make a suggestion before, and it's up to IDOT about moving that 30-mile-an-hour sign back. So they're doing a lower speed, but that's up to IDOT. But like I said, just right now, analyzing the numbers more and hitting the peak times, and then reanalyzing to see if those individual hours have percentages of fun.
Is that something you think you can get done by November? Maybe our November public safety meeting, Sam?
Yeah, I could.
So
I could,
5 months?
Yes, I could.
Yeah.
That'll give us time to hit it hard. Mm-hmm. It gives Sam time to try to do at least a month worth of data that we have. Now, the difference is probably going to be, and one of the things that, you know, hopefully we'll probably see in the overall traffic numbers, is when Sam does that in November, or probably October, school's going to be in session. Mm-hmm. So you're going to probably get more cars because you have high school kids driving to and from, parents driving. So this study was done in June. We didn't have school in session. So you're going to see an increased number of overall vehicles.
The good thing is we have vehicle numbers, we have times, and we have the percentages.
Yep.
So my thing would be, okay, if you have a higher volume of traffic, does that percentage of violations stay the same? Or is there, is it in school session? Now do we have a higher percent of violations? Well, it'll be interesting to see, because we will know that caveat is there.
It's compared.
And some of the things that make me optimistic is just that during the middle of the day where we have high pedestrian times, we have high traffic volume, but we also have high compliance ratios. Mm-hmm. And so that percentage of violators is low. You know, and it's kind of like 7 a.m., the volume pretty much stays, you know, pretty consistent until it's 7 p.m. But what we're looking at is that it's almost like a bell curve of compliance. You know, in like those early morning hours, late afternoon hours, volume staying the same, but compliance is going down. Mm-hmm. And that was what was interesting, and that's what we talked about. We're like, that's where we focus, is like, okay, volume same, but that ratio of compliance changes. So we'll focus on the areas where the ratio of compliance is just a bad ratio and try to get that back into, because I'd love to look at this and just see us floating somewhere in that 3 to 4 to 5% through all those hours. And like, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, yeah, it's up at 8%, which I'm not happy about. But pedestrian traffic is nearly non-existent at that point, and there's probably not a lot of traffic. And, you know, knowing our midnight crews, those guys can be on that stuff. You know, I'm worried about the times where somebody's trying to walk across the street. You know, let's start there, especially knocking down some of those early morning hours going to work and everything. So
I'm curious to see if the numbers go up when kids are in school, because theoretically you would think younger kids they could drive.
Yep. But what I'm hoping is the moms drive a little bit slower. what I hope. I'm not sure. But, yeah.
The minivans are going fast.
Yeah, the stereotypical 5'2" mom in the gigantic SUV with like 8 kids.
Yeah.
That sometimes is the worst one. Unlike me, I got nowhere to be, so I'll do that, you know, 5 under.
I do too. My wife yells at me. I drive like a turtle.
You're causing traffic.
I get it.
I appreciate it.
No problem. Like I said,
thank you.
I'm open for any ideas. So if anyone has any ideas, let me know.
Sure.
Discussion and try to come up with some different strategies. So I'm open to anything.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to share the data statistics, I love. So this is great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Chris is getting all the
time. I know. I'm
creating a monster here.
You guys saw me on the phone. I mean, I'm running the numbers as soon as you write them off to me. So. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Sam.
Good.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. You can stay if you want, buddy. You don't have to.
Appreciate it. I like forward to your shift reports, by
the way. You can unlock the car if you want bacon.
That's tempting.
I appreciate it. I'll save it for these guys.
Okay. Returning to regular agenda, minutes for correction.
Barely.
So March 6, 2025, April 10, 2025 special.
You
ball 10 fingers, I know how it is for you.
Yeah, no problem, right? He's got to work late. He's working tomorrow on his off day, so
I'm gonna take my time driving to 47.
Any comments on the minutes? All right, approved as presented. New business 2510 monthly report for February through May.
You guys all have copies of some of this? Gotcha. So I'll go over the February. I'll probably go over that in quite a bit of detail. And then, of course, when we get to May, I'll go over that one in detail, the two in between. I'll probably skim through those fairly quickly unless, you know, if you guys have questions about them, just let me know. So, the Rusty, this is kind of newer to you with the monthly report. We put out a monthly report every month. I try to have it out by the 15th. Sometimes it depends on payroll and benefit hours when we get them because of payroll. But this tells you pretty much everything we do as a department over a month's period of time.
Yeah, you showed me that when I was doing my training.
Yep, there you go. So I'm going to jump right over to the personnel information, which is, let's see, 1, 2, 3, probably page 4. The overtime hours worked. We had 54 hours of overtime for the month of February. 25 of those 54 were reimbursed through HIDA, CPAT, and CIT. That's pretty typical numbers. Our overall staffing is 44 in February of 25. Jumping into the community policing initiatives, we had our blood drive Battle of the Badges, which we have won now for the third year in a row. That is set up by Roman Sebbing, and I will note that I got no alderman to come this year to take your blood. I don't know what the heck is wrong.
I wasn't there yet.
True. So, you got to give blood. No?
I usually do every weekend. I crack my knuckles.
Roman Sebbing does a really nice job organizing this. It's at the library, brings in a lot of people, and obviously saves a lot of lives with the amount of blood that we give. A lot of posts, you know, about downtown you're seeing. Our Throwback Thursdays have been extremely popular. We're throwing a lot of different photos out there of older people, you know, retired police officers, different, and current police officers when they first started. Mm-hmm. Ron Diedrich is in the February one. I'm not sure what was up with February, but February and March have been the scam months. We've got a lot of scams, a lot of things coming through. Actually, I believe it was the March report. People are calling the churches and acting like they're the payroll person for the church, and it's a pretty elaborate, but they utilize AI. Mm-hmm. They take somebody's voice, utilize that through AI, and then it's pretty crazy. Had some donations. We had a Fox Hill Pantry made a donation this year. That goes into our fund when we want to buy a piece of equipment that, you know, when we get enough money, depending on what we want to buy, we purchase that equipment. Uncle Lair's is like the third time they've donated pizza to the PD. Brian Goldsmith's relatives own the place. I should have showed this to Sam. You have Throwback Thursday, Sam Strop, which is kind of cool. Jumping over to our monthly training. We had for the month of February, we had 420 hours of training. Our traffic crash summary, it's probably the lowest we've had in the last year and a half. We had 28 crashes in the month of February, and you will notice that Route 126 and 47 is not on the high crash intersection list for the first time, and I'm not sure how long.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Getting into the different directed patrols, you know, Center Parkway is always a directed patrol we have there. We're not doing a lot on Center Parkway. Our focus is really on the highways. You guys read pass on last night. We got somebody 35 miles an hour plus last night on 71. It's not uncommon to get 90 to 110 yeah. on these highways. So our focus has been, as you guys have seen, on the major highways coming through town. So you saw County yesterday had a fatal on 126. Girl ran the stop sign. Truck. I mean, our goal is obviously to slow people down, especially on the highways too, because that speed, you just can't.
What was the crossroad of 126?
Grove. Yeah. So during the month of February, 47 downtown, we ran 89 total stops down there. We had 10 citations, 79 written warnings. When you look over Route 34, we had 161 stops, 141 written warnings, 20 citations, 149 on Route 47. 136 written warnings and 13 citations. And then Fox Street, we're still hitting Fox Street. You know, people coming into town, people leaving town with quite a few stops. The rank order as far as the number of details and total hours and traffic stops made, the 34, 47, 71, and then the downtown area. When we get into the detective squad details, our overall cases for this month were down. You're going to see huge increases the next couple months. Our non-criminal cases are down a little bit. You're going to see huge increases, and most of that is backgrounds that we do for Parks and Recreation and stuff. Although Tim and his staff have done a really nice job of getting a different company to come in to do backgrounds. It allows my detectives and our detective sergeant to focus on police work and not backgrounds. So we'll talk a little bit about that later. Our overall reports, when we look at, we were down 48 overall reports from this February of 25 as compared to February of 24, which is a good thing. In our NIBRS data, we were equal 37 total crimes, and that's split between crimes against person, property, and society. So, you know, we're on board with, at least for the month of February, with being similar to the numbers last year. And any questions about February?
What, not just February, but in general, when your officers write warnings, mm-hmm. typically is that recorded in your guys' system? So if they were caught again,
yes.
And I understand they still have the option of writing them another warning, yep. but you're able to tell if they've had a warning.
Yes. Okay. So when the officers will go in there, let's say they stop Jim Jensen for speeding in the downtown area, they can run priors on Jim Jensen and see if he's been stopped anywhere else by Yorkville PD. Actually, they can check county, Oswego, Kendall County, Plano, Montgomery, because we all have the same records management system. So I don't have a number on the percentages of repeat violators. So I don't have a number on that.
I could probably surprise you. That goes in tune with the kind of what we're talking about for the truck enforcement. Give them a site. Instead of citing them right off the get-go, educate them.
Yeah.
Give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And then hit them the next time if they.
I'm just kind of curious: is how many people are stupid enough to do it again?
To do it again? That would be interesting. Yes.
Let's see. Just taking a note on that.
Because mm-hmm. we know you won't remember.
What's your percentage? I'll take 3%. What do you want?
Well, for
repeat offenders, you're saying 3%?
No, it's probably high.
Yeah, I would say low. I'd say like, probably under 1.
Yeah.
0.85.
Well, what's your time span though? Is it a month, a week?
I'd say 3 months. 3 to 6 months.
I'd probably go for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it'd probably take it a longer period of time because So if you do it 1 to 2 years,
Let me look and see if we can run a query on that.
But I'm gonna say 5%. People being I think.
Yes, it's probably, yeah.
I think we're
5 to 7.
Underestimating their
stupidity.
Yeah.
Or just not
let me see if I can run a query on that. I'm not trying to get that to you. That's a good question.
They have not learned from prior challenges.
All right. The month of March. Unless you got something on February.
Let's roll.
All right. Month of March, our overtime. We had training. We had 119 hours of overtime that month. 63.5 was training. That was a department training, and it was a all-day training. Typically, we run trainings for four-hour training blocks. This was a full eight-hour block for everybody. With some of the new training requirements throughout Letsby, we're going to be having to do that, unfortunately. Again, scam alerts for the month of March. We also did some Facebook posts with a letter to the public on our iLEAP accreditation. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on today, so I wanted to make a quick note of that. We had another donation for the Shop with a Cop. They came in, this group came in and donated, and I forget how much they donated, but I want to say it was like $1,000 for Shop with a Cop already, which is very, very good. You see different posts about our downtown, our Throwback Thursdays. You see some old squad cars. You see old Chief Martin when he was in his undercover narcotics days. And then actually it was, what we do it in May? I think we did it in May. We got all the chiefs together for the last 46 years or 60-some years. I forget. All the way back to Randall. So everybody was still alive from Randall on up. So it was kind of cool.
Those are some hideous squad cars.
Right. But in the day, they were cool.
I think we need to bring those rims back.
Yeah. Our training for the month was 303 hours. Traffic crashes were still fairly low to 32. And again, second month without 47 to 126. Our overall downtown details, you see 62 in the downtown area, 54 written warnings, the rest citations. You had 230 stops on 34, 147 on 47. Route 71, 112, and Fox had 43. Pretty much goes in the same order as last time, 47, 71, and then downtown with the number of details. Total hours spent, 372, and total number of stops, 575 for the directed patrol detail. Our overall citations, we were plus 18 for overall citations as compared to last year. But we were down 51 written warnings for that same time frame last year. Getting into our overall cases, our investigative cases, it stayed pretty even for the month. We had 113 cases assigned non-criminal back in 2024. During the month of, March of 24, March of 25, we had 17. And if you look at the major difference, it's the background. For Parks and Recreation. Our overall crime reporting for that month as well, we were up 40 in our total reports taken. We were plus 40, but we were even again for the month of March for the NIBRS crime reporting, which is good. If you remember, our overall numbers from the previous year, from 2023 as compared to 2024, we were down again in 2024, which is a very, very good thing. So our numbers are staying pretty consistent. And that's about it for March. April, I'm going to hit the highlights here. We had a major murder for hire case. There is just the overtime for this is just huge for this case, overtime and compensatory time. The murder for hire case was probably a once-in-a-career type investigative case. You don't get many of these, at least out here. They are still working on that case. The person is still in custody. He is still writing letters to family members or to the victim in this case. He's adding charges almost every day. Our case, I don't know if you could get a more solid case. Now, is that saying he's going to get convicted? No, but we have got a phenomenal case here. And our detectives, they worked in just, this is just one of the coolest, awesomest cases I think our detectives have had.
They've done. It'll be a lifetime movie right
here? Actually, the way it was, it could be. We're looking to get secondary charges on somebody. So just to kind of give a little bit of detail, this person had his ex-girlfriend, was going to hire her to kill his ex-wife. Okay, she actually went in the house in Oswego, and they had a plan of when she chickened out, she left. So there could be some potential charges for that coming. We are still working through that. But this has been, they probably spent every bit of two straight weeks and working nothing else but this case with three detectives. So it's a solid case. It's a cool case. Never a case you really want to have in your town, but at least we got the person. We also, during this month, we were also hiring. So we advertised for patrol officer positions. We had 99 applications taken out, which is the most we have ever had. Which is, yeah, very, very good. I know other agencies aren't getting close to that. I'm not sure why we had 99 as compared to other agencies, but we did, and I'm taking that and running with it. We've been fully staffed this year up until this month. We've been fully staffed up till last month. We've been fully staffed the entire time. You know, now we're down one because you guys have allowed us to hire right away, and so, which is good. So Sean Inc. left. He was with us for several years. He went to the state police. They promised him a drug interdiction position. And he was already working narcotics, and so they offered him just something that, you know, it's what he wants to do in his career. That one was probably the hardest one to lose because I could see him being the chief here someday. He's that good. Ryan Fisher left to go to Sycamore. He was about a 55-minute drive for him to come here every day. He's the only caretaker for his mother, and his mom's not doing well, just had a knee replacement. And so it was hard to see him go because he's a great kid, but he went to Sycamore PD where he grew up. So, yeah. Throwback Thursday, you see Ray Mikulasik there, Deputy Chief Ray. It was also Civilian Appreciation, Admin Professionals Week, so we honored all of our admin professionals. Training video, you see Throwback Thursday for McMahon as well. Overall, our training for that particular month was at 1,800 hours, over 1,800 hours of training. That also includes the two people that went to the police academy. Our crashes jumped from 32 the previous month to 50 during the month of March or April. 47 to 126 is back at the top of the list. And just for your information, Rusty, that's a rear-end crash. People are pulling up to stop to look left, and the cars behind them are looking left, don't see that they stop, and they do the rear-end. Our numbers are very consistent with the stops on 34, 47, 71. The intersection, or when I track the directed patrol, the number of details, you have Route 34 and 47 were the same. I'm going to rank them at one each. Route 71 was number two, and downtown was number three. Total of 276 hours of total time spent, and a total of 451 traffic stops. Traffic enforcement, we were up 51 citations, and it's kind of difficult. I can't force anyone to write tickets, right? I can't say you have to go out and write tickets. It's considered a quota, and it's against the law for us to do that. So these guys have seen over the years that, you know, our total number of citations have not been high. The newer officer doesn't like writing tickets, and they're now starting to write tickets. I mean, one of our goals this year was to push them to solve a problem. Well, you can sit out here and make 5,000 traffic stops, but if people aren't slowing down, are you solving the problem? And that's kind of how we're pushing, trying to get our staff to say, hey, all right, you guys can continue to stay out here, right? Because we still have speeders. But maybe if we do a few different things, maybe that problem's going to be solved. So you're seeing a lot more tickets being written. And they're not BS tickets. They are tickets that are good speeding, like a 62 and a 30, right? Our overall criminal investigative cases, they went up a little bit for this month. Background investigations for the total reports assigned, non-criminal reports for investigations, they were up from 28 to 85. The large majority was backgrounds. We were doing backgrounds for Parks and Recreation again. You're going to see a lot more backgrounds coming up when we have to do the high school kids for their program that Tim and Shay run. We do all the backgrounds of the high school kids, so you're going to see that increase as well. Our crime data. I'm not able to give you crime data for NIBRS for this month here that we're working on, April or May. I don't even have it for June yet. We're having an issue with New World. They did an update, and it's not, for whatever reason, it's not catching our NIBRS, our crime data. So I will come in and update these when we get it. I just can't put out numbers that aren't accurate, obviously. But our overall reports taken for the month comparative from April of 24 to April of 25 is down 29. So that's a good thing. I'm hoping our NIBRS data is going to be lower as well. That's what you hope for. I always hope for a lower crime rate. Yeah. That's really what it comes down to. And for the second March and April, we were up big time in our total incidents. We were at this time, April of 25, we were 1,490. In April of 24, we were 1,467. So we were up. In March, I didn't cover that, we were 1,583 in 2025. Mm-hmm. And in 2024, we were 1,423. So there's a lot more activity going on. And then the last one. So the month of May, reimbursable overtime, 94 hours total, 44 were reimbursable. We had 30 worth call-out stayover. That's the call-out, and that's the murder-for-hire case. And they took a ton of comp time with that as well, so that's the major difference. When we talk about the social media, the ducks that they saved, that got well over 100,000 hits on social media. It's crazy, but it did. Throwback, you see Robbie, you see Jeff Johnson. By the way, Robbie Hart also got his master's degree, so it was very nice seeing him get that. And thank you to you guys, because our city pays for that. It's part of our program through our city, which is great. We had Cop on Top. Roman Sebing set that up, so we were up on top of the Dunkin' Donuts. We did the South Dunkin' and the North Dunkin' here. We also have the police memorial. So getting into department training, we had 250.5 hours. We had 59 crashes that month, so it's obviously picked up with the summer months. The numbers are, again, very close to the same. 58 stops downtown Yorkville for our directed patrols, 185 for 34, 144 for 47, 92 for 71, which has been lower than previous. In rank order again, 34, 47, 71, and downtown, total of 493 stops in our directed patrol areas. Traffic enforcement, we are up 111 tickets, just tickets. And we're plus 18 in written warnings month to month from the previous year. And then our criminal cases assigned, we were minus 10 from the previous year. So we focused so much on this murder for hire case. Thank God it was a slower month. Mm-hmm. For them guys to work and get caught up. But then you're going to see huge amounts of cases again this next month. And then that the runaway that we just had, mm-hmm. Where we found her deceased, they're still working on that case. So other cases have been kind of put back on the back burner, you know, you got to prioritize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So our overall number of non-criminal cases were 10 different this year for investigations, which is good. When we go into the crime data, again, I don't have NIBRS data, but we were two less overall reports from May of 24 to May of 25, which is, again, a good sign. And our overall call volume, 3 months in a row, where we went from 1,608 May of this year. Previous May of last year was 1,446. So what's really good about that is you're seeing our incident numbers overall go up, right, which is not a very good thing. But our overall reports are staying very consistent. And up until I couldn't get NIBRS data, we were very consistent with crime rate, too, which is a good thing when the overall incidents are going up. So,
is that due to 911 having to log that now?
You mean with the 911 calls coming in?
Coming in.
I'm not sure. I don't remember. That's a great question. I don't remember when they started doing the 911 where they dispatched everybody for like the cell phone 911 calls.
It does have something to do with
yes.
that. I'll check with the KenCom numbers.
Yeah, it does.
For our next meeting.
Yeah, so that's a good point. And we started tracking, I don't remember what month we started tracking those, but they jumped up and it was a change of protocol with KenCom where they dispatch all those now. So.
Yeah, so there is somewhat of a correlation to those.
But yeah, absolutely.
Because I look at these numbers every month with KenCom data that comes out, so these I see regularly. So when I see these increases, I look at the end of the year, that's going to be a budget increase to us.
I just noticed, I don't know if you read them, but I read all the emails we get every day of what's going on. I see a lot of 911 hangups, and I see it assigned a number, so I assume it's probably part of your tracking. Is that
it? Is mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the good thing is I think everybody is up.
Yeah.
I think, well, let me back up. I can't say everyone. We have a daily requirement for our staff that they have certain things that they have to do in a day, every single day. Now, they have, we have 0 days where they don't have to do, like, they have to do a minimum of 3 traffic contacts a day, minimum. I will tell you other agencies, they don't have that same criteria, right? We do. We fought the battle for the last year and a half, almost 2 years, where people whining and complaining that, you know, we're like, you're making us do 3 stops in a day. And we're like, yeah. A stop takes you 10 minutes in a 12-hour shift. You have 30 minutes of your 12-hour shift that's obligated outside of calls for service. What are you not able to get done in your 12-hour shift by doing these 3 stops a month? Guys have taken to it. Nobody's complaining. Other agencies can't get their people to do it. Our people do. And it's just a testament to our people, I think, and our supervisors, because they're out there pushing to make sure that they're doing the things that they should be doing. So that's all I have for that.
Any questions on the monthly reports?
Thanks for all the info.
Take those as there. Next item is 2511 adjudication reports, March through June.
All right, I'll start with March 3rd. I'm going to kind of go over them fairly quickly. If there's questions you have, a lot of the stuff is the same each month to each month. You're going to get a lot of impounded vehicles. That's when we make a traffic arrest and we admin tow vehicles. That's really what that's all about. Expired registration, you're going to see that quite a bit. People are parking their cars on the road. They have expired registrations. They can't park them on the road, so they get citations from our CSOs. The one in here, we have a disturbing the peace. Domestic animals, that's not one you typically see. What I try to do is typically go over the ones that are uncommon, that are not very common, right? Just to kind of give updates on those. Possession of cannabis, persons under 21. And again, expired registrations for March 3rd, March 17th. Impounded vehicles, expired registrations. We have possession of tobacco by minor and a possession of cannabis by person under 21. A little bit different, but we get some of those every once in a while. Illegal parking in a handicap zone. Your wife would be very happy by that. You'll also see that next the next couple of reports. April 7th, a couple of the different ones that we've had, other than, you know, the impounded vehicles, restrictions of commercial vehicles parking. We did rent a semi for parking on the roadway in a residential subdivision. And we also had dangerous, vicious domestic animals. We had a dog attack another dog, bit another dog, so we wrote a vicious animal for that. We had a disorderly conduct on the April 21st one. It was a DC ticket. There was an incident that occurred in Hacienda Real. We were able to determine who the person was. We didn't get a lot of cooperation from them, from the people there. It took us about 10 days to make sure we identified the right person, and we issued that guy a disorderly conduct ticket. Instead of going with an actual criminal battery charge. Jumping to May 5th, it's all very common, impounded vehicles, expired registrations. There was one for restrictions on commercial motor vehicle parking as well. And May 19th, the one that's probably, well, it's out of the ordinary. We've had a retail theft, a little bit out of the ordinary, another disorderly conduct. But there was working commercial before permit, and that was more building and zoning issued those tickets. But that's listed on here. Let's see. In the June 2nd one, they included June on here. Operating a non-highway vehicle on a city roadway, Ephraim Hernandez. So we wrote him. That was a guy, a neighborhood problem that these two people argue and complain about everything. And the guy's going down the street with his tractor. We got a big scoop on it on the front and back, and neighbor had video of it. So we wrote him a ticket. We're just done getting complaints from either side. And he was actually warned about doing it twice, and he did it. So, and that's pretty much it.
When it comes to the restrictions for commercial vehicle parking, commercial vehicles, what's the threshold on that?
We follow what our ordinance says. So our ordinance says you can't be a commercial motor vehicle and park in a residential area in town. Certain classifications of license plates can't. You can't have trailers that are unhooked from vehicles,
right,
parked on the roadway. All falls under that.
So you have a basic F-150.
company branded.
Yep.
That is a violation?
Well,
this is what I want to...
Okay. So it depends how it's plated. Mm-hmm. I want to say it's a D plate. I'd have to look at the weight restrictions on a D plate or more. Technically, they're not allowed to park in residential areas on a D plate for like an F-150, F-250.
So you bring an F-350 that is truly,
it's a work truck. We will probably not write that. We won't deal with that. Mm-hmm. We get a complaint, we will deal with and tell the person they can't do it. But a lot of times you get a lot of vehicles in subdivisions that it's somebody's either personal vehicle or it's a work truck, but it's a pickup, right?
Yeah.
It's just plated higher so they can pull a trailer for their work or, you know, for whatever they're doing individually or, you know, in their personal lives. So we don't mess with a lot of those.
Typically when I see it, most of them are not an issue. You know, right. Large families, you have multiple cars, okay. You get a work car, you got to park it somewhere, right? It's an F-150. It fits in the class with that. Yeah. It would be no different than myself or a neighbor having a F-150. Now you scale it up to a truck that has a trailer. You're doing haul. You're a much larger class of truck. That's a little different.
Yes.
You know, having a truck that's got a water tank on it. You know, you get to certain classes of trucks and vehicles that are, granted, some of them may be temporary, like 1 or 2 days. I don't have an issue with that. I typically don't take.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
You know,
Go ahead. Do you know, does township have the same ordinance?
I have no idea. Not a clue. We do, where we get some of, I think, what you're talking about, like on the south side of Yorkville in the, what subdivision is that? It's Country Hills. Mm-hmm. There's a person who lives in one of the cul-de-sacs that owns a tow company. So he brings his heavy-duty semi-tow truck home, but he parks it on his driveway. Well, he is not parking on the street. He cannot park.
We used to have that issue over in Fox Hill.
Yep.
He would consistently park one or two tows on the public street, not even in his cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
And so those are the kind of things. You know, you give grace as much as you can to your, you know, your home is your where your business is. You operate, but you've got equipment, you've got a truck.
Right.
You give that grace. Somebody comes in with a semi. Okay, come on, guys. Yeah.
That's what led me to my question was, ironically, the guy ran for Township Road Commissioner and didn't win, but he works for Novak Paving, and he's on the street behind me on Pleasure and parks a big two-wheel dump on Pleasure.
I don't know what the township is.
And I've gotten calls about it, complaining about it. I'm like, it's township. There's nothing.
Yeah,
they were on the city side that they didn't.
Yeah, but so.
Yeah, city side he wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I know that.
I'm sure I just think it's funny because it definitely exceeds the weight limit for a residential street. So sometimes it's loaded, sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
You're running for road commissioner and you're blatantly doing that?
Yeah. I'm with you.
Anything else on the adjudication reports? No. Thank you. All right. We already did old business. Additional business?
I have a question. 13.
Oh, the yes. You want to do your accreditation?
Yeah,
we are officially accredited, right?
We are. Congrats. We are officially accredited through Illinois, the Illinois Chiefs Association, which is a very good thing. We did not do national accreditation. Could we get national accreditation? We could. I think we could, but the cost of doing that is a full-time staff person plus about $10,000 a year. On top of that, Illinois accreditation is recognized. This is a very good thing. So I think it's July 22nd, somebody from the IACP is going to be coming out, giving us our award. We'd like to do a city council meeting, have as many officers as we can there, depending on their personal lives, and get everybody, all of you guys down for a big picture with everybody. Because this is it's not just a, hey, this is a YPD thing. This is a city thing. There are certain things that our city had to do to allow us to get that. The biggest thing is this building. Our previous building would have never been able to do accreditation. This building really focused on solved a lot of the issues that, you know, we needed to have solved. And so it's an entire city accreditation award in my mind, because, you know, you guys helped us with the PD to get there. So yeah, just want to let you guys know that we'll have that award July 22nd. It's a good thing. I think they're, Oswego's nationally accredited.
All went into it. The background on everything there.
I think you did when we were having our
We had well over 200 plus standards we had to comply with. And policy, every policy had to be reviewed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I first started 6 years ago, you know, we redid all the policies, all of them. We focused on the high liability policies first, so we were able to get all of those done. And then we redid them all when we came through accreditation. And so we're the only agency in Kendall besides Oswego, they're nationally certified. The talk is they're going to get away from national certification and do I-League, which they'll get that easy because most of it's already done. But there's no other agency in Kendall
accredited,
which is a good thing. So that's it.
Professional organization.
Mm-hmm. Brian. Yeah.
I remember one Oswego had two cop cars.
That's
Officer Plum.
I want to say.
You need to go home because I'm going to take you home because you're out too late. Yeah. That's how it was.
When I got hired, the village of Oswego ended at Douglas Road in 34. Then they annexed out to 30 in 34. I was the 18th employee. Now they're 60.
Were you in the Hastert Park building or were you in the old building?
I did not hit Main Street, so I was in the Hastert Park building when I started. It was the first year that building was built when I was there.
The Main Street building was the size of this room.
Oh,
yeah. Kind of like the old Yorkville PD.
Yeah.
On Hydraulic. You know where the ice cream place is downtown?
That Fox that used to be the old
Yorkville PD.
Never saw it. You can see it pop up in so close.
That's
fun. What's his name? Officer Law?
Bill Law. Yeah, I worked with him.
Yeah. He was a character.
He was a good dude.
Oh, yeah.
He was definitely not somebody you messed with.
He would, so my wife's uncle was Oswego Fire Department, Holmes Auto Repair.
Yeah,
so,
Johnny.
Johnny.
Yeah,
so,
Johnny
yeah,
Holmes.
Yeah, so that's my wife's uncle. So I worked in his shop right out of school.
Yeah.
And so I was working in his auto shop, and he would just see me in the tow truck, and he'd just drive by, and he just give me the finger all the time. Yeah. With Officer Law.
Yeah. Law was a different breed. But, you know, back then, there was a lot of things.
Sure.
I mean, law enforcement was different back then.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. There were some good things. There were some bad things. You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wouldn't have messed with Law.
Oh, you'd give me a hard time all the time?
Yeah.
So, quick question. Cannonball, where we live, mm-hmm. how far does Yorkville patrol that? Or is that county? Or is that...
So we have jurisdiction on Cannonball up into about the cemetery.
Okay.
And then it turns into county, and then we pick up again at the intersection of Cannonball Trail, Bristol Ridge, where that big tent is at. Mm-hmm. That's the city of Yorkville.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just that one corner.
Because I have a couple
one little block.
Yeah, the couple of residents that went hidden driveway or hidden street, because you know how people come around that corner where I pull out?
Yep.
And then they also were asking about, because we have accidents here all the time. I mean, I've probably had, 8 since I've been there, 25 years, where they come around the corner, miss the corner.
Mm-hmm.
They want the flashing arrows. So I don't know if you have to go to county for that, or?
Is that a township or a county highway? I don't know if that's, it's Bristol Township. I think it's a Bristol Township roadway.
Cannonball, I think it is. Yeah, I think it's
a
township.
It's not a county.
It's Frandon, or no, that's Bristol.
It's Frandon.
Fran?
I think it's Fran.
Yeah, I mean, because they put the guardrail on
Kendall County Highway. I think it's Kendall County Highway. Because when they're going to be changing their entrance right there, I don't want that entrance coming out right in my backyard, right? And so I had to talk to Fran. That's why I think it might be County Highway, not Bristol Township Road. Because Fran said there's nothing he can do. And I'm like, Fran, that's BS. I'm sorry, but there's no way they should be putting that road coming straight out to where a residence is, connected to Fairhaven.
Yeah.
They absolutely should not, and that's something we need to object to, because we have rights on both sides of that road.
Yeah, but we can't, from what I'm being told, is we can object, because it was already, that whole area, the way the zoning was and the approval of the zoning, they have full right to do whatever they're going to do in that area, and I don't understand all that because I'm not in on zoning at all.
Yeah, that section is it's kind of from Galena to 47.
Okay,
that is there's Galena to 47.
This is Kendall County.
It's Kendall County.
So I can look into do a speed study out there. We can put our stuff out there.
By one neighbor, if you probably see him, he walks the ditches.
Yeah,
he collects garbage.
The junk.
Yeah, every other day, Dave does, and he's like, people are whizzing by. I'm like, I know when I'm mowing my berm. It's like,
yeah.
So, because I'm right at the curve.
So right. I'll get with Sam about doing a speed study on there.
Yeah, he would be very grateful, because it was funny, he talked to me like the next day Kendall County was out there.
Yeah.
He's like, thanks for saying something. I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
It was like literally the next day, like, okay.
Yeah, but we haven't had a whole lot of crashes, you know, in the years. We've had some.
I know.
Probably the last crash that we've had there was that it turned out to be a fatal, it was a motorcycle.
Yeah.
He ended up passing a couple days later, mm-hmm. but that was, I think, the last one we had.
Yeah,
there.
That was last year, wasn't it?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so I'll get a speed study out there and a flashing curve sign.
Yeah, and then just like the hidden, because in the summer, the trees are there. In the fall, in the winter, you can see the cars coming. It's just,
so the trees are obstructing the sign that's there saying
curve. No, I'm saying like, you know, you have the trees here, then the curve comes here. And you'll look to your right, okay, nobody's there, then you'll pull out, then you'll have somebody right on your ass, because you don't see them.
Okay, so you need the trees cut back.
Or like a hidden entrance sign, you know?
Because you're concerned about...
Well, that's where I pull out of the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's this right here.
Yeah, same corner.
So when you're...
Yeah, so they're coming around here, mm-hmm. so you need these trees.
No, no,
so
no.
If you turn out,
you
no,
need
I'm
these
about,
trees
no,
over
I'm talking
here.
About the people that are on Cannonball in the corner where they hit that curve.
Mm-hmm. So this row of trees here.
Yeah, so I live right here.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So when they're coming here and you go to probe.
Oh, yeah, anybody coming out here.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that's why I had this pulled up, because this is the line of sight issue. It's these right here. You have to edge out here.
Yeah.
And then like I did, that just took you right out to the intersection. But if you're trying to be back here and not be in traffic, these trees right here create that issue because they come around.
Yeah.
You don't see them around the...
Yeah.
Like that right there. You don't see him coming around the corner because you got to edge out there.
I wonder where that easement starts there with them trees here. I wonder when that easement starts there.
Yeah, that's the original model for that subdivision. Yeah. So that's why those trees are so big.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, let me get with Fran and see if there's something we can do.
And I'm going to say, I want that blinking light, and then it'll probably be in my backyard, bro.
Probably will. Right.
Yeah. All right.
I got one more thing for you.
Yep.
Taking probably 4 calls in the last 2 weeks from people in Heartland and Heartland Circle about...
Taos Circle?
Kids in their scooters on the sidewalks.
So, let me do this.
I've seen a couple other communities in the past week posting about e-scooters and regulations and enforcement.
So
it's become an issue everywhere.
I am going to forward you guys an email that I just sent this guy today, because he was complaining. He had some complaints.
You were in Nashville with the scooters? You had scooters.
What's his name? Ken something?
Scratch.
Sent by Dave. Kyle Barlow.
He emailed me as well.
All right, so I responded back to him. I didn't know he emailed you, so I BCC Bart and John, and then responded to Kyle. So my response to him was this: understand your frustration with the motorized scooters and mini bikes. Illinois law is convoluted and very confusing with regards to these non-highway vehicles. That's what they're identified as. So in a nutshell, here's the answers to his questions. There are 3 categories of non-highway vehicles. You have low-speed scooters, you have electric bicycles and mopeds, and you have electric bikes and dirt bikes, okay? All 3 are governed by a separate set of rules in the Illinois Vehicle Code. Mopeds, electric dirt bikes, and dirt bikes are prohibited by our city ordinance and state law from being operated anywhere on the roadway. Mopeds must be registered and they must have insurance. Dirt bikes, depending on the size of the dirt bikes, must be registered and carry insurance. That applies to anything over 50 cc's. Electric bicycles can go anywhere a traditional bicycle can go, with the exception of a sidewalk. Low speed scooters are under 100 pounds with 2 to 3 wheels and a max speed of 10 miles per hour. These riders do not have to be licensed and are legal to ride on the roadway or sidewalk unless city ordinance prohibits. Our city ordinance does not prohibit that. Regarding our city ordinance, yes, our city does have an ordinance which is listed below. Currently, mopeds, dirt bikes, electric dirt bikes, operating on the roadway or sidewalk would be a violation of our city ordinance if they're not licensed and insured. Scooters and electric bicycles would not apply to our city ordinance. Okay? And then I pretty much went in here to say that I understand what he's saying, but our option is writing people state tickets. I can't write a 12-year-old a ticket, right? I can write a parent a ticket, but everywhere you go, these are all over the place. If you really want to piss people off, pass an ordinance, you write every one of these kids a ticket and their parents a ticket, and every single person, oh, that'd be bad. Sure. I understand what this guy is saying, but we're not writing a kid with an electric scooter on a sidewalk, which is what I'm not.
Because the big part of it
I'm not doing that.
The biggest part that I see with it, it's the lack of courtesy and common knowledge of, you know, giving, you know, yielding the right of way. You know, a 12-year-old doesn't understand if he's on an electric or she's on an electric device that mobility goes faster than somebody walking. There's certain courtesies that should be applied that they're not really taught.
So why some of it is write him a ticket to put a safety time in Winkler.
So some of it is courtesy, and I totally get what you're saying. Some of it is courtesy. Other parts of it are just a lack of understanding. And I'll give you an example. Just today, a state trooper was on Bristol Ridge and Kennedy Road. Mm-hmm. A vehicle stops, looks both ways, has the right of way. Trooper on his bicycle juts right out in front of him. Car hits him. Okay, the car had the right of way, but the bicycle thought he had the right of way. Mm-hmm. Right. So some of it is, I think, just a lack of understanding of what you can and can't do. Mm-hmm. I would say if there are, you know, these were a few issues, then I would say, okay, yeah, we can write tickets, but you go to our city events, there's a dozen or two dozen kids down there on electric scooters, right? And the other thing we told them is we are getting a lot of complaints about Taos Circle, right? The motorbikes, the gas-powered. Some of the, I can't even tell if they're gas-powered, some of them, because they're as fast as gas-powered, and they're electric, right? And there's nothing, because this is changing so rapidly and so fast, there's certain standards that we don't know what we can enforce with those. We try to stop them. Kids take off running. Mm-hmm. They take off on them, and we will not pursue them.
If they can do 35, 40 miles out, I will say there's two of them that are out by my area.
Yeah.
I know exactly where they run all the way up and down.
Yep.
They come up the trail on Cannonball. They go out to 34, and they will take off on that multi-purpose trail. But the one is an electric. The one is a gas.
Yeah.
They are mini bikes.
Yep.
Both of them wear helmets. And these kids are not old enough to be operating these. But then they know the fact that, you know, anybody comes up around them, they're gone. That's the problem we run into.
It is.
And they are, I will say, a nuisance because of how they operate.
They are a huge nuisance. Seaver was he was adamant that we need to do stuff. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Seaver, I'm not pursuing those kids. Right now, our pursuit policy is for a forcible felony. We got sued pursuing somebody or for chasing somebody in the Heartland subdivision several years ago because they stole a package, right? And pursuant to our policy, they could have at that time, right? We won the lawsuit, right? But it cost us probably $100,000 to defend the city on that and the officers. So our policy is very restrictive in pursuits. If we're going to go off after someone, chase somebody on an electric motorcycle, the kid's 12 and the kid gets whacked for a city ordinance violation, you know, and that's kind of what I try to say very nicely to this gentleman. I don't get a lot of complaints about them. That's the other thing. You know, I know they're there. I know they're there. I see them in my subdivision all the time. Nobody's complaining. So it's one of those that if it's right in front of us and it's a violation, we'll have a pleasant conversation with the kid and the parent.
Yeah.
If we see something like an adult is on there, we arrested a guy yesterday. You probably saw him pass on. He was in an area. He was on a dirt bike. We stopped him, towed his bike, and arrested him. And wrote him a couple tickets. So let me forward you my my response.
Okay. But, yeah, I told the same gentleman that I would address it tonight.
these things have just become so affordable and prolific that it's not like it used to be with a mini bike. Yeah. Little mini bike, you used to take it out of the dirt path, you know, you get out there back areas. Now, they're just everywhere. And
I get a lot of calls or complaints about dirt bikes and mini bikes.
Yep.
Yeah.
In my subdivision, but most of them are coming from township.
Yeah.
So there's kind of that fine line, and I've talked to a couple of the parents who's like, it's a city ordinance violation, but if you stay on these roads.
Right. Mm-hmm. We've tried to do two things. We were very proactive at the beginning of this spring season, reaching out to the HOAs of the subdivisions to say, hey, listen, every year we get complaints, every year you HOAs are complaining to us about this. We need your help. You guys know who these families are that are doing it, mm-hmm. right? You know who they are. Nobody's telling us who they are because they don't want to get involved. This guy here, I think he knows who's doing it, but he wants us
to be the
bad guy, and we don't know who they are, so without knowing who they are, we can't. There are times we will put up a drone. If we're in the area and we get a complaint about it, we'll put up a drone, and that's how we've caught some of them. We follow the drone to where the bikers are going, and then we catch them, and then we've had conversations. Mm-hmm. People don't want to tell us who's doing it, and so for us to catch them,
neighborhood
we need
issues.
The help. You know, otherwise, there's not much I can do. You know, I mean, I could. You guys want me to? As a board, you tell me, and we'll chase them. But that's not going to be a good thing. Somebody's going to get hurt or killed, right?
Yeah.
And do we have the ability to tag them with paintball? You know, the like they do in there's a couple foreign countries that do it. You know how we use water cannons here? Mm-hmm. They use colored dye. And they blast them, so everybody that's like at a illegal protest, they get all blasted with dye.
I'm not touching that one. Maybe when you guys want to do that, make sure I'm not the chief anymore. Then you guys can do whatever you want.
No, I mean, but we have no way of.
Is that something that, with our school resource officers, something we can try to do within the schools or something like that?
We can try to educate during the driver's ed program and things like that. There's no way we can get into like a specific, classroom setting, unless it's probably a driver's ed to talk about that. You know, the question is, would it do any good? No. Kids are going to do it. We've talked to kids and we catch them back out there again. And the second time they run and we don't catch them, So there's a group of three kids that are on the south side by Orange and Fox at that area there. And they're fast, these little bikes they have are fast. They'll cut through fields, and we just can't catch them. So, is somebody going to get hit? Yep. Yeah. Kid's going to get hit driving like an idiot. And I'm going to go, I told you. Parents, you knew about it. You didn't stop it. And that's some of the common comments we get from the parents is, well, where's my kid supposed to ride their bikes, their motorcycles? I'm like, you live in a city. Like, you shouldn't have bought them the motorcycle. Yeah. Well, that was our gift to them. Where can they ride it? On your property,
that's or it. Take them to a park. They
and
have riding parks.
Heartland. That's Heartland parents that we've had that conversation multiple times with. So,
I get one. He rides a four-wheeler through the neighborhood, middle of the street, usually carrying his little sister. I said, come on. I know you're going slow. It's a small, close neighborhood. But we get these idiots that just ride through the...
You know where they're at?
They drive through.
Just give me an address of where they go or give me a name. We'll find them.
The problem is,
we'll go right to the house.
Some of them, they're old, like this one, 15 or 16. Old enough to know better.
Yeah.
Now, doesn't take it out to the field. Like, there's a couple of them that they'll take their little bikes, they go the real slow through the one block, and then they take off to the fields.
Yeah.
I can understand that. You're kind of just putzing a little. It's the one that goes loops. Stop doing the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because... Like your turn here, we get a couple blind corners coming around.
Gonna
get whacked. And
it's gonna take somebody to get whacked. That's what it's gonna take. So.
We're running into a fence, a barbed wire fence, or that's not a good idea.
Yeah, we've just been very lucky. We haven't had that. No, thank God, nobody's gotten hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it'll take somebody getting hurt. Yeah. So, and these, unfortunately, these bikes and scooters and skateboards and motorcycles there. Hell, bicycles now. Some of these bikes that go 25, 30 miles an hour, and they're electric. So, but it's classified as a bicycle. It's crazy.
The same guy with the the paving truck had a, he's in college now, but he would like to ride his old Honda scooter, and I see him going right down 34 doing wheelies on a scooter.
Yep.
And I went and talked with Dan, like, it's not.
Yep.
So I'm not trying to be a jerk. I just don't want to see him get hit. But that's a stupid place to do it. In our subdivision, I don't care.
Yeah.
Don't do it on
the I don't want it to seem heartless, but at some point you can only do so much, and then it, you know, it's like people speeding around that Cannonball Trail and that curve from the Home Depot side to our side, right? Mm-hmm. They fly around that corner.
So they're by the church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And we haven't had, knock on wood, we haven't had accidents there.
Yeah.
It's been good since they've redone it. People will, that guy will still complain, and I'm like, I understand what you're saying, but I can't control what every driver does.
Sure.
You know? So.
Yeah, it's definitely better. It was a lot tighter.
Oh, yeah. Much better. Much better. Even over the winter. Mm-hmm. When we've had snow and, you know, slippery roads, much better. So.
All right. Cool.
We can still chat, but we'll adjourn 7:36.